The scripture stated that we are in the midst of Paul's address before the Areopagus in the city of Athens. Very important address. A lot to teach us about how to address our world, because as we mentioned last time, the world of the ancient Greeks is very similar to our world today. So we're going to back up a few verses and kind of pick up a few items by way of review that we looked at last week, but then move forward and consider further Paul's message to these individuals at the Areopagus. Verse 22 begins, "Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious.'" As you remember, we are on Paul's second missionary journey. And we've been watching Paul move from town to town to town. Most often, he goes to those towns and encounters a Jewish audience with a few Gentiles. But in coming to Athens, he has a very different audience. He has left Macedonia, he has come to Achaia, he has come to the city of Athens. If you recall, he was alone when he first arrived. Silas and Timothy had stayed behind in Berea, but Paul gave instructions that they come to him as soon as they are able. Paul knew the challenges of Athens and how extra hands and extra individuals would help him. But Paul, his personality comes out in this. He cannot wait. He begins immediately to engage with people. As was his common practice, he went to the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath in order to share with the Jewish audience there. He always did that. He, as we saw in the book of Romans, believed that the gospel was first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. But what happened between each Sabbath day? Well, we read in verse 22 that he would go to the agora every single day. We talked about the agora last time. That's the large meeting place, the marketplace. Everyone hung out in the agora. So that's where Paul went. He wanted to be where other people were. There were people buying and selling in the agora, people meeting and visiting. I'm sure they had coffee shops, maybe not Starbucks, but they had coffee shops or something equivalent to that. They also had many philosophers, people who would debate and talk about a variety of things. We noted that feature last time as well. The city of Athens, this was the center of Greek thinking, Greek culture. We had mentioned that the golden age for Athens was in the 5th century, but even now in the 1st century, many centuries later, it was still an important city. It was a city that needed to be touched by the gospel, and Paul goes to Athens with the intention of bringing the message of the gospel to the people there in Athens. We talked about the Areopagus, which is where this event took place. In this illustration, I like this illustration. We had mapped out the city in a previous message, and we had talked about how the Areopagus was a stone's throw from the Acropolis, and over Paul's right shoulder, you see the Acropolis up there. That was the large hill above Athens with all the temples and shrines, and then you have the Areopagus there below that. This was a special place. We talked about two different purposes. It was a place where the philosophers got together to debate different ideas and thoughts and be an intellectual center. It was also the place of judgment, the place where trials would take place. Notice, too, as we saw in these verses, that Paul was brought before the Areopagus. This is like a by invitation only kind of a situation. I think it'd be very similar to our Supreme Court today. There are many attorneys who would love to argue their cases before the Supreme Court, but you just can't just invite yourself. You have to be invited. And the Supreme Court is very selective on who is able to come and present the case or a case before that body. And that was similar to the Areopagus. By invitation only, Paul was invited. Paul was brought there. He was brought there. Who brought him there? Well, we noted last time that it was the philosophers from the Agora. Down in the marketplace, many people gathered to talk about the latest ideas, to debate different points of philosophy. And Paul engaged with the philosophers down there in the Agora, the common marketplace, and they then brought him to the Areopagus, kind of the big guns, if you will. We talked about two possible reasons. One, it says in the text that Paul was preaching something different. We know that Paul was a Jewish teacher. He taught from the Jewish scriptures. But the philosophers, as they listened to Paul, they noted that he was saying something different than what they traditionally heard from the Jewish people. And so they were wanting to find out, what is this seemingly strange message that you have? We also noted, when we're speculating here, that they may not have been able to stand up to Paul's thinking. Paul seemed to be very sharp and be able to engage with them in his arguments, in his presentation, and they decided, hey, listen, we need to take this guy, Paul, up to the Areopagus. That's where all the best and the brightest would be. We can't handle what he's saying, but maybe we can take him up there and the big boys can handle him. Put him in his place, if you will. We compared that with Stephen, the first martyr, where Stephen was engaged in a debate with the Jews in the synagogue and they couldn't stand up to his wisdom and the Holy Spirit by which he spoke, and so they brought Stephen to the Sanhedrin. So the same thing is happening here. These were the philosophers of the day. What is a philosopher? Well, the name tells us what a philosopher is. Philos means lover. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Sophia, the last part of that word, is wisdom. So these were people who are lovers of wisdom. They see themselves as the intellectual elite. I came across another definition of a philosopher recently. I kind of like this one. What is a philosopher? A philosopher is someone who tells you what you already know in words you cannot understand. We noted there were two groups of philosophers. There were the Epicureans. These were the naturalists of their day. They believed in the gods, but they also believed that the world in which we lived was not run and controlled by the gods, but rather it was controlled by material things, natural things. I use the word naturalist because that's a word that we are familiar with today. There are many people today who dismiss God and think that we can explain all things by just natural processes. And so Paul's words to these philosophers could also be our words to the naturalists in our own time. The Stoics were followers of Zeno, the philosopher, and they were the pantheists of that day. I want to use the word pantheist because we know that we have pantheists in our own day as well. What is a pantheist? These are the people who see all things as God. God is all things. And the problem with that, though, is when you say that everything is God and all things are God, then you really don't have a separate God. So it really eliminates God as well. Do you remember what they what they used to describe Paul? In the Bible, our Bible passage, it was called a babbler. But what was the word?